Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting of the Ways and Means to Get Meeting in order for March 3rd, 2025. We do have a quorum. We do have a lot of guests in the room, so just a reminder that we conduct our business in a business-like manner and appreciate you being here, but also appreciate your silence. Representative Agbaje, would you like to move the minutes from February 24th, 25?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Minutes are moved. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Thank you, members. Minutes are approved. Today we have one bill before us, House File 11. It's the only bill on the agenda. I would remind you that our schedule today is going to be somewhat interrupted. I intend to run committee until probably about 5 minutes to 11 when we will take a recess, and the plan is to come back at 12:30. Representative Claiborne.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate you telling us about the schedule for today. I did not know about this schedule in advance, so I'm, one, curious as to why we're doing it, and two, I have other meetings scheduled at that time that are also important legislative work. Can you please help me understand why we are not doing, I mean, this has been a bill that your caucus has talked about for months. Why is it that we're interrupting this important conversation? Thank you.
Because I'm chair and I'm interrupting the meeting for an important meeting. This meeting was posted and the schedule was posted. I'm sorry you didn't see it.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sending out to all members.
Representative Claiborne.
Can you please tell me what is so important that we are interrupting this conversation? This is our set committee time. I understand it's chair's prerogative, but can you help me understand what is so important?
Representative Claiborne, I announced the schedule in advance and that's the schedule. Representative Baker, would you like
Chair.
To move House File 11?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 11, and I'd like to just introduce my amendment as well, Mr. Chair, and explain the bill.
Would you like to adopt the A1 amendment right away?
Yes, Mr. Chair, it's more of a technical question or more of a technical amendment, and I'd like to have House, nonpartisan maybe explain the amendment because it's so technical in nature.
All right. Thank you, Chair Baker. Chair Baker moves the adoption of the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape he would like. Before we vote on that amendment, we will have that information presented from nonpartisan. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Chair and members, Anna Shaleen, House Research. This amendment removes the changes to one of the sections of the bill so that the data sharing and ability to spend money out of the account for this program goes into effect on the current schedule rather than being moved back by 1 year. This was at the request of the department.
Thank you for that information. Any questions regarding the amendment? Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It sounds if requested the department, maybe the department can just explain what the purpose is of this change, because I'll admit to being pretty confused.
Thank you. I believe Deed is in the room. We'll call them forward to respond to your question. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with an answer.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Evan Rowe, Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Employment and Economic Development. I believe that this, we haven't had a chance to discuss this exact language, but I believe that the purpose, so essentially the way that the current paid leave law works is that we are able to draw 7%, we're able to draw 7%, up to 7% of anticipated benefit payments for the year once the paid leave program gets underway, as is current law, on January 1, 2026. The delay basically creates a funding gap so that the department, in the sense that the department would not be able to draw administrative funding until 2027. I believe that this amendment is intended to rectify that. I do have one just small comment on that, if I might. Essentially, the law basically allows us to draw based against projected benefit payments. I think the only issue is that for 2026, the benefit payments would be zero. So there may be, so I think we may still need an we might still need appropriation language there. I believe that's the chair's intent of the language.
A follow-up, Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if I'm understanding you right, understanding the testifier right, the provision would allow for benefit payments to be paying out over 2026, but there's nothing coming in 2026. So I guess would this then increase the fiscal note at least somewhat if this amendment goes into effect?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rowe.
Could I ask Representative Pinto to repeat the question?
The question regarded the impact of this change that perhaps it would force the have some extra expenses that would have no revenue against them in 26.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's correct. Essentially, there would still be administrative costs that we would need to be paying in 2026, and I believe that the amendment is intending to rectify that.
But, Mr. Chair, if I may just, I want to make sure.
Representative Baker.
With the delay in this, there's no premiums that would be paid in 2026 and no claims would be paid out in 2026. So the payments aren't coming in or going out. The taxes that will be started, everything is delayed for one full year. That's what is intended here. Maybe, again, Micheline can help understand that this was about interagencies to be able to, I thought, make sure the savings could be recognized, but there would still be some ongoing cost to delay that a year.
Final comeback of Representative Pinto, then I'll go to Representative Swazinski.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll just note to Chair Baker, I think if this amendment goes into place, there would be money coming out of the benefit payment pool because it would shift it would cancel out the delay for that Section 4. And so I think the concern is there's no money going into the pool, but there would be money coming out of the pool, which is why, as the Commissioner said, the cost would go up. So I do have concerns with the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. Representative Swazinski.
Yeah, I'm worth that. Okay.
Oh, I'm good. Thank you.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have questions about this amendment, so I'm still a little fuzzy on what the first piece of this does. So the amendment restores the original language in Section 4, making the effective date essentially 2026 instead of 2027, and there's two components to Section 4. The first one we've discussed a little bit, but I'm still unclear as to what's happening here, because it says, what I heard is that the intent here is to allow the department to access administrative costs, and there was some allusion to the fact that, that there may not be an actual change here, because the language here says the commissioner may spend up to 7% of projected benefit payments for that calendar year, and there won't be any projected benefit payments. So I guess this is a question for either the department or nonpartisan staff. This first part of the amendment, does it change anything in the fiscal note? Is there any fiscal impact from this section of the amendment?
We'll go to nonpartisan.
Chair and members, Anna Shalane. So my understanding is that this amendment was to address items in the fiscal note, and that while there is not benefits payments coming in at that point, there is administrative funding in the account, and that this change in the language would allow them to access that money and spend it and do transfers between the agencies in order to cover the administrative costs and address that funding gap that was identified in the fiscal note, is my understanding.
Thank you. Mr. Rowe, are there administrative funds available that could be spent as the result of this change through this amendment?
Mr. Chair, again, I think the intent of, I mean, and this, we're sort of, I just saw this language about 15 minutes ago. So I think the intent is that it would allow the department to spend that administrative funding.
Mr. Rowe, that was not my question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My question was, are there funds available in other accounts to fill this need for this expenditure?
Mr. Chair, I mean, I think there's basically only one account. There's the Family and Medical Benefit Insurance account. And again, I think the legislature appropriated about $660 million in 2023. So I would expect that there would be plenty of funds in that account to be able to fund it. I think the issue is whether we'd be able to spend that based on this change.
So the answer is yes or no?
If Mr. Chair, if the, I mean, there is ample funding in the Family and Medical Benefit Insurance account. Yes, there is $668 million appropriated back in 2023.
Thank you. And this amendment allows you to access those funds to do the work you need to do during 2026. Is that correct?
That's the, Mr. Chair, I think that's the question here. Whether the amendment would be sufficient or not.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I think that's the point, is that it doesn't allow them, because it only allows them to spend money based on the projected benefits. And because the bill delays the start of benefits by a year, they won't be any projected benefits, so they won't be able to access any of the funding. So I hear what the intent of this amendment is, but the bill does, the language in the amendment doesn't match that intent. And I would just note that this is the kind of thing that should be worked out before a bill gets to Ways and Means. And ideally, that would happen because a fiscal note would be in the possession of the Finance Committee before a bill gets to Ways and Means, before a bill leaves that Finance Committee, which did not happen here. The fiscal note came out on Friday. And we know that these things happen. It's not the first time. I'm sure that my friends across the aisle are eager to give me examples of this happening in the past, but you were mad about it when it happened in the past, and now you're doing the same thing. And by the way, today is March 3rd. It's not the end of session. We're not anywhere close to any deadline. I don't know why we would move a bill to Ways and Means at this stage of session without a fiscal note, where we get an amendment that doesn't match the intent, doesn't fix the problem that was intended to fix. And by the way, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure there's another piece to this part of the amendment that I don't understand as well, and I'd like some clarification on, which is the second half here talks about allowing interagency agreements. That was postponed. I assume that restoring that is either just a collateral consequence of the attempt to get at the administrative costs, or it's reflection of the fact that the fiscal note for Dolly says that they assume that a direct appropriation would be needed because their ability to enter interagency agreements is delayed for a year. And so there's a cost on the fiscal note in the first biennium of $379,000. So I'm assuming that the idea then is that they can enter an interagency agreement that would zero out that cost, except for, I guess this would be my question either to nonpartisan staff or the department. The funding that would pay for that money, would that also come from this account? And are you limited to that, on your ability to spend that, because of the fact that there are no benefits, or can you spend from that account?
Thank you, Representative Stevens. I'll move back to nonpartisan staff for an answer.
Chair and members, my understanding is that I perhaps should not have changed the date to 2027, that first sentence, that because there are no benefits payments, that doesn't really change or accomplish anything. However, it's the interagency agreements to transfer funds that allows the existing funds to be used by the different agencies and cover the costs that would come up within that year that is now being delayed.
Sure.
According to the LBO.
Representative
and
Stevenson.
I appreciate nonpartisan staff saying that they shouldn't have done something, but it's the author's responsibility. I mean, I think we all agree on that. It's not to make sure that the intent of an amendment matches up with the words and to get the amendment they want is not our staff's responsibility. It's our members' responsibility. We all take responsibility for the bills and amendments that we put our names on. And so, I appreciate that, but I don't think that that's where we are right now. I think where we are is we have an amendment that's trying to solve problems that should have been solved in committee, in the Finance Committee. And I think that it raises more questions than answers. And so, I'm a non-voting member of the committee at the moment, but I would encourage members to vote no on this amendment because it's not, we don't really understand the implication of it as we sit at this table. We don't know what it does. We don't know the impact of the fiscal note. And Mr. Chair, I don't know if I'm allowed to ask for a roll call as a non-voting member, but I would encourage, I would either ask for a roll call or encourage my members to ask for a roll call.
I've given you as a non-voting member great leeway already, Representative Stevenson, so. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as my friend Chair Stevenson pointed out, we first saw this bill on the floor last year with a fiscal note that on the fiscal note in the floor raised the tax from 0.77 to 0.78. No, from 0.7 to 0.78. Just in a fiscal note, raised a tax nearly $1 billion. Members, that is the problem of this bill from last session that we are trying to fix here today. And we need to get this fixed because our businesses are waiting to find out what is going on. Business uncertainty over this issue is driving so much anxiety in the business community. It's affecting how people manage their business. It's affecting people's decisions about whether they hire, whether people, I had a conversation with someone who was waiting to know whether, you know, she might start her family based on what happens with this bill. So we need to get this right. And I appreciate Representative Baker and the amendment, but we cannot wait to have what happened last year happen this year by having things, tax increases raised in fiscal notes on the floor. So Ways and Means is the right place for this, and I encourage people to accept the Baker amendment.
Representative Claiborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to ask the testifier for a bit of clarification. It was my understanding that I heard you say, or someone in this room say, that this amendment was brought at the request of the department. And then I think I heard the testifier say that they only saw it 15 minutes ago. And I'm just trying to make sure that I understand the conversation that we're having correctly.
We'll go to Mr. Rowe.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative, I would say that I think the department in the fiscal note raised the issue of needing an appropriation for the balance of calendar year 26, but the specific language we had not seen until just before the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Claiborne.
Thank you. And since I am a voting member of the committee, if we move this bill, I'd like to ask for a roll call, please. On the amendment.
I'm sorry, Representative Claiborne, could you repeat your question?
The statement that I made is that since I am a voting member of this committee on this amendment, please may we have a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call is granted. Representative Baker.
Just a final comment, Mr. Chair, before we take the roll call. This is exactly why the bill is so complex. Agency or nonpartisan brought it to me, making sure that the technical side of this was right to be able to delay a huge bill that was passed last year without any support from the GOP in the last 2 years. In fact, it had support against the bill from the DFL when it passed off the floor. And we can't get the amendment right. I just want to make sure that we use the current money that was set aside. $688 million was set aside for this massive project that we all want to better understand and get our heads around. And this amendment just makes it easier for the agencies to work throughout each other so they know where the funding is going to come if there are some fiscal costs to a contract or whatever it might be, to make sure that those are in place so that we don't have to look at any other kind of fiscal restraints on our current general fund. So that was the intent, Mr. Chair. And I hope that we can kind of, you know, work through this amendment and move on with the important part of this bill. But this is very important to get it right. But anyway, that's it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Representative Baker. We're going to take a five-minute recess to sort this amendment out. We'll be back in 5 minutes, members. Members, we're reconvening the meeting of the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, I think after further discussion and after kind of recognizing the Department of Labor has some issues with the language that they presented to us, I would rather withdraw the amendment at this time, Mr. Chair.
Thank
We're
going
to get it fixed.
Recognize President Baker withdraws the amendment. On to the bill as originally presented. Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, does that then address the problem that was identified? And I was a little confused, the reference to Dolly providing the language, because we've been hearing from Deed. So I don't know if, so just basically, where does that leave us with the problem that had been identified?
Representative Baker.
Well, Mr. Chair, again, the idea of that amendment, Representative Pinto, and again, I think we need to clarify the language, is to make sure that this very minor fiscal impact, what we're trying to do here, that is allowing the department to use some of the funds in the current $688 million fund, I think it's, I think I've been hearing a number of $100,000 or something like that. It's very minor. We need to get that language better understood, but the Department of Labor is one who sort of brought this to us, and we need to get that more cleared up. So that's why I think we need to get this understood. But right now, according, you know, again, our conversations in the past, Mr. Rowe, has been if it's a full 1 year delay of this bill, it's pretty straightforward. But I think it's not as straightforward as what we once said it was a month ago. So we're going to get that cleared up, Representative Pinto, and move on to the bill.
Representative Pinto, briefly.
Mr. Chair, so I guess I'm confused by a couple points because there was the reference to Dolly, but we've been hearing from Deed. I guess maybe just what I would want is reassurance from Chair Baker that we'll get a chance to actually address this issue. I mean, I think what really needs to happen is it needs to go back to our committee so we can address this. I understand you may say it's a small amount of money, but of course it's a quite significant fiscal note. So that would be part of a motion that I would expect we'd be making to send it back. And I would hope, Chair Baker, that you would agree to that so we can sort out the details here.
Agree to what, Representative Baker?
To have the issue that's been addressed be addressed, the issue that has been brought up be addressed in the Committee of Jurisdiction, which is a committee chaired by Chair Baker. It seems like if we're not addressing this right now, I'm gathering maybe Chair Baker is thinking this can be addressed in language on the floor, which is Lead Stevenson identified earlier, is getting to be far too late for when we should be addressing this. So we really should be coming back to our committee, the Committee of Jurisdiction.
Representative Gomez.
Well, Chair Pinto kind of asked my question. So I'm just curious, because there's a problem identified with the bill. We're in Ways and Means right now. My understanding is that the intent of the majority is to pass this bill out of Ways and Means onto the General Register today. But there are fiscal issues that haven't been addressed. There was an attempt to address them with the A11, which was then withdrawn, which means that the Ways and Means Committee, which is the last step before it goes to the General Register and before it goes to the floor, by which point major fiscal issues are supposed to have been addressed in the original Committee of Jurisdiction. We received a fiscal note on Friday. So I'm just, what's the story with the bill path, the issue that's been identified in the underlying bill, and like how is that supposed to be addressed, Mr. Chair or Representative Baker?
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
And I have a question for the author of the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gomez.
Mr. Chair, I asked a question of Representative Baker. Could my question be answered before we move on to the next member?
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, again, I don't know if I heard the question. I think it was about are we going to refer it back somewhere? Sorry, Representative Gomez.
I'm just curious about what the
Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Baker. I'm curious about what I understand the bill path today to be, which, from my understanding, is that we're the Ways and Means Committee. We're expected to pass this bill onto the General Register. We've identified a problem with the underlying bill that was surfaced in a fiscal note that we received on Friday afternoon. And so what are we doing with this bill? Because my understanding is that, you know, issues like the one that we've identified in the fiscal note are to be addressed in the Committee of Jurisdiction, and that's not Ways and Means. And so I'm just curious, what is the bill path on this, and what's the kind of rationale for the bill path if there is this sort of anomalous treatment of this fiscal issue that was identified based on the fiscal note that we received on Friday?
Mr. Chair,
Representative
I think
Baker.
To that, Representative Gomez, I am comfortable having it come to Ways and pass through Ways because the technical aspects and the very minor issue of this, I'm still very comfortable having this move forward and, you know, efforts of time and management of our shortened session here. I think we need to move this forward. Again, this was brought to us by the department. I got the fiscal same time you did. And so these are a bit of a challenge time, but I think we're ready to go forward with this. And I'm going to leave that decision up to the chairman of Ways and Means. I'm comfortable leaving it here and having it move forward.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Members, with the amendment withdrawn, the fiscal note as presented stands. And that stands with the authentication of the LBO. There's no reason we can't move ahead with this bill today, and that is my intention. Members, I have a couple more on the list, but I want you to be brief, and we're going to go to a vote. or not to a vote. We're going to go to the bill because the amendment has been withdrawn. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then my question is to Representative Baker. Just kind of looking at the thing, I appreciate you pulling the amendment for now. I do believe there's some work that needs to be happened. It's my understanding, you know, just from my history with you, Representative Baker, you've got a long history of being able to work across the party, across the aisle, across different aspects and different perspectives on bills. You know, obviously Democrats have a perspective on this, and I get it. Are you willing to kind of continue to work between today and when this bill comes to the House floor? As the, if there's changes that need to be made as far as amendments, are you willing to work with both Republicans and Democrats to find some sort of some ground as far as trying to address this as your bill moves forward?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Baker.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, I'm absolutely always willing. If we've got a tweak on this, we've made many changes on the House floor. We've got time to fix this. Members, I don't want to have a bill that my name is on it that isn't right, but I've had changes along the way in a lot of my bills in my 10 years here. This one, if we've got to tweak this a tiny bit going forward, but the discussion is needed today on this important bill. So I appreciate that.
Representative Baker, to your bill.
Members, again, I bring to you House File 11. House File 11 is not a repeal, it is a pause. I want to make sure that members that are at the table listening to this, people across Minnesota that have told us some amazing stories, very hard stories to hear. I've heard them myself for a couple of years. This is a real important issue that we need to get our arms around in a way that can work for everybody. But I want to make sure that people understand that businesses and the job creators that are part of this program, this largest state mandated program in business history, we have to make sure that 50% of the partnerships on this are on board. They have not been heard over the last 2 years. Businesses, nonprofits, new startup companies, nobody has really had a chance to really tell their story in a way that is productive, because 50% of this program lands with businesses that create the jobs to support this program, or it won't work. So business owners care deeply about their employees. We care deeply about families, and we will always do that. We have done that since day one. What we want to make sure with this repealing, and I'm sorry, the pausing of this bill, is to make sure we get it right. We have to make sure it does not leave the train station in a way that will crush small businesses, that it will hurt more people. This teachers will lose their job if we don't get this right, because school districts around the state of Minnesota don't know how this is going to work. So members, I am not here to tell you that I want to, you know, we don't care about families. We absolutely do. But today is about recognizing the many companies that have been already offering very good short-term disability programs. But to bring something of this magnitude, of a Cadillac version, without having reasonable conversations about what about collective bargaining agreements that are already in place that have a lot of very robust PTO programs already in place. And those employees are not paying a tax on this. But also, what will this do to the smaller businesses? The seasonal businesses that we've adjusted in here, really the 150 days members, needs more talking, it needs more work. We need to make sure that we talk about those kind of issues so that we don't push more businesses away from Minnesota. And that's what I'm looking to do with pausing, taking a deep breath, and now getting more conversations at the table, because we have heard a lot in our committee about the concerns that counties are having, school districts are having, small businesses are having, and their voices have not been heard. We need to take more time to do this. I'm not convinced Paid Family Medical is ready to leave the Department of Economic Development, as they've told us. We've had other stories in other times in state history when we've been looked at by the commissioners. They say the program is ready to go. It clearly was not. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm just ready to take, I guess, questions. We can talk about this, but I am committed to working on ideas that will still provide a very good program that works for both employees and employers. And that's what is this intent of this bill is to do, to make sure that the 50% that will be the employer's side, the job creators, their voices are heard as well. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Questions to the bill. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, I have to apologize for being late. And then second, there's a clarifying statement I want to make and then a quick question possibly. Representative Baker, I noticed you mentioned the $768.1 million that was set aside. Were you saying that that was set aside for administration?
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, Representative Joachim, no, the $688 million was for the whole program. A lot of it was for the administration. I think around $500 million was set aside for the initial claims that were going to be coming in the next coming years.
Follow-up, Representative Joachim.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Baker. I just wanted that on the record, too, because $730 million was set aside for paying those benefits out the minute the program started. As Representative Robbins said, there's a lot of folks sitting here waiting to decide how to start a family. I also noticed you mentioned, this is just a comment, teachers will lose their jobs. 75% of our teacher workforce are female. They usually start young right out of college. The most loss of teachers we have where we don't retain them is between their third and their fifth year of starting teaching. So if you do math and you talk to teachers, they are leaving because they're starting families. And unless they can perfectly plan to have their time off in the summer, they don't have enough time off to stay home with their children. None of the contracts for teachers in the state have paid family and medical leave, so they are taking their sick time. Some of the admin contracts have paid family and medical leave, but not the teachers. So I look at this bill as a way to help our workforce, not only in teaching, but in law enforcement, in our hospitals, and the areas where we're really short, because we need folks to stay in the workforce, and it's really hard to do that if you're starting a family, if you're trying to take care of a loved one, if you get cancer. And I really think we've heard, and I did listen to the Jobs Committee, they are ready to go, and I'm just very disappointed that we're talking at this moment in time about rushing a bill to the General Register that delays this paid family and medical leave one more year. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's a great microphone. Thank you, Chair Baker, for bringing this. If you spent time door knocking this last election cycle, as I did, talking to people all over the state, they expressed a lot of concerns when you would talk to business owners. I also talked to a fair number of people who were school administrators that had great questions. I talked to people who were CEOs, CFOs of hospitals, and that they all expressed, if there's a way to pause this, please do, because they are not prepared for it. If you'll remember, the School Board Association opposed this. There has been great opposition from hospital boards, and the Hospital Association also said this is going to be a crushing weight. They still don't even know the full totality of the requirements that came as a result of this bill being rushed through last year. On top of that, I have spoken to a number of people from within different departments and also spoken to the Commissioner of IT, and you have heard my concerns last year on the floor. The software that is going to be required to get this thing done is not finished. It is not even in testing. It is not ready to go. And for those of us that have lived through MnSure and MnLARS and the e-bike debacle, we should... That deeply affected Representative Swedzinski, I believe. We should not rush towards a piece of software that is not ready. And if you'll remember back to 2017, if you were here, MnSure was being rushed out of the gate, and it was supposed to be this great piece of software. It didn't work, and then Commissioner Tom Baden came to committee, and I was on that committee, and we made it very clear that this was on his shoulders, and he ultimately resigned because of the failure of Minshew. Putting a pause on this is not unwise, because it puts us in a position where the software can be done. We're not debating the idea of this, because we can't get that overturned, unfortunately. What we're talking about is putting a pause on something that is going to harm a lot of people if they don't fully understand what's going on, and more so harm people when the software doesn't work. And as somebody who works in the IT industry, we should be in testing very, very soon if you're going to hit the January date. We are not in testing. So for those that are here that think this is a dumb idea, it's not a dumb idea, because if you have a piece of software that is bespoke or custom made and it's not going to work, why would you rush it out the door? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Representative Baker, any comments on that?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Then we'll go to a question from Representative Cotiza Watoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Baker, I appreciate the working relationship that we've had over the last 7 years or so, and I think that it's really important that on both sides of the aisle we work to separate people from policy. But I think that actions speak louder than words. And if Minnesotans are watching what's happening right now and reading between the lines, I think what they see is that the House Republicans are, again, putting the interests of CEOs and CFOs and administrators above the needs of everyday Minnesotans. And I don't think that a year's delay in implementing this program really does anything to combat the anxiety about implementation. It magnifies it. So instead of going into 2026 knowing that people have the opportunity to apply for this benefit when their kid gets sick, or they go into labor, or their grandma needs care before maybe they move into a center for specialty care for dementia or something along those lines, they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know. Maybe we'll see this happen in 2027, but maybe then we'll come back in 2026 session and the Republicans might try to delay it till 2028. And I think that this sets a really dangerous precedent in postponing necessary and important benefits for people, particularly young people who right now are still the largest segment of our population leaving the state of Minnesota for education, to start a job, their career, wherever they may be. This is something that tells them, we want you to come back here to Minnesota. We want you to stay close to your aging parents. We want you to begin a family and raise them here in Minnesota. And this is more of a comment, Mr. Chair. So if Representative Baker wants to respond, that's okay. But I don't think that this is a good idea. And I don't think that the people of Minnesota deserve this. And I don't think that ultimately it's going to pass.
Thank you, Representative. I did not hear a question. And Representative Baker, a reaction?
Maybe a quick comment to that, Representative Cotiza Watoon. I think that the problem with the thing with this bill is it wasn't written right. You're talking about delaying something that everybody's excited about. I understand that, but we can't let it go out into the world of people's lives, into businesses' lives, when it's going to fail on the enormity of how it was written, how the policies are set up. Other states don't have it where it goes down to one employee. Most of them have a small business exemption. Most of them have other parameters for seasonal businesses that are better than ours. In some states, unemployment insurance is being drawn at the same time as paid family medical leave. That's against the law. And so we've got to make sure that our bill, our policies don't let that happen. There's more things for us to fix. And I am committed, because I can't pass this bill, but I might be able to pass other bills that help fix the House File 2 from a couple years ago, only if I have DFL support. I understand that. But I think there will be some ideas coming that will help us work on that. So this is intended to give us time to get this kind of a large tax, $1.5 billion in taxes coming out every year for both employers and employees. So this is important to get it so that it's right-sized for the right-sized business and those families that can take time off. So looking forward to working with you and others. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Baker. At this time, we're going to take a recess until 12 o'clock, at
Mr.
which
Chair.
Time we will come back and
Mr. Chair.
Reconvene. Yes, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I had some comments I was going to make about the bill, but I just want the public to understand that we are recessing because there's going to be a GOP rally that's anti-trans at 11. This room is full of people, and there are people listening, and you did not answer that question of Representative Cleavorn. There was a press release that the GOP put out last week. They've been promoting this rally at 11 o'clock. So I just want it to be very known. The reason why we're breaking on this important discussion today is for the GOP to attend that rally. Mr. Chair, I would also move to table this bill based on the discussion we've had, and I'd ask for a roll call.
Representative Mueller, I already announced the recess. This committee is in recess. I will call the meeting of the Ways and Means Committee back to order. We are on House File 11. Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll just note again for the record that the website still indicates that we weren't coming back again till 12:30, so I think this is really confusing for the public with the break and the timing and everything. That said, I do have a comment about the bill. I know there was some suggestion that this is bad for small business, and I did note in the committee packet that Main Street Alliance, and meaning the bill is bad, meaning the original paid family medical leave bill. And I did see that the Main Street Alliance really supports paid family medical leave. They oppose this bill and describe how it is good for small businesses. And I just wanted to offer an example. A former colleague of ours, Representative Jamie Becker Finn, owns a coffee shop. And she did the calculator and said with the paid family medical leave law, it would only be about $20 a month for her business to be able to offer paid family medical leave. And she said that without having that, she just can't compete and purchase these products on the market. So she's, again, reminding us that this is good for small businesses. The original bill is good for small businesses, and that we should be rejecting the notion that it's not. And so I'm going to be voting no on the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Mueller. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, this is probably more of a comment, but one of the trends I'm really worried about here is this crony capitalism where corporations, you know, get favor privilege. And so I really wanted just to bring the public's attention to the letters in our packets. The letters in support, Minnesota Business Partnership, 9 different Chamber of Commerce's, 2 different banks, the banking industry, 2 different banking industry letters, Federal Federation of Businesses and Retail Minnesota, and the people that are the packet that are in favor of it, AARP, Children's Defense Fund, the nurses, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, Isaiah, and AFL-CIO. So I am actually really happy to that we're offering this paid family leave program to Minnesota. Not too long ago, I was in that position, and I was privileged enough to be able to have that time and bond with my baby and then even bring her here. And so that's super important. And we don't want to take that away from mothers or any family members. And so I just really think that when we're looking at who is supporting this and who is not, businesses are clearly supporting this delay, and the workers and people are clearly not. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Based on what we heard in the first segment of this hearing, I was wondering if we could bring Evan Rowe back up to, so I could ask just 2 quick questions, please.
Yes, we can do that. Mr. Rowe in the audience. There he is. I was looking the wrong direction. Sorry about that. I should have known you'd be on the left.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I did switch sides.
Please identify yourself for the record, and Representative Bierman will have a question for you.
Mr. Chair, thank you. My name is Evan Rowe, Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Employment Economic Development.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rowe, I just heard early on some concerns about the system not being ready for a 2026 launch, and I wondered if you could confirm in your own words whether the system will be ready in 2026, please.
Mr. Rowe.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, we are very confident that we will be ready for a full launch on January 1, 2026. I think as we testified in House Workforce previously, we've already deployed, you know, components of the program, including employer wage detail, a variety of tools for employers on the website, and I think the work is well underway.
Representative Bierman.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And also, Mr. Rowe, I heard that some states, apparently they can collect UI and also paid family medical leave, and I just wanted to confirm that in Minnesota we have taken care of that, and if you could explain in some detail, that would be helpful.
Mr. Rowe.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes. So I think the paid leave law is very clear that you may not, you know, both collect unemployment insurance benefits and paid leave benefits at the same time. One of the benefits of, you know, kind of having both programs report into the same department, the Department of Employment and Economic Development, is that we're able to kind of ensure that, you know, ensure that there's very tight managerial control, and we're also building in a variety of business process controls and, you know, really automatic systems controls to ensure that an individual who is applying, you know, cannot receive both sets of benefits. It's obviously a very critical part of program integrity and system design as we are implementing.
Mr. Chair, just wanted to thank
quickly,
the testifier.
Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe, for coming back up and clarifying on those two points. I'm not on the Labor Committee, so I just wanted to confirm that before we moved forward. And then, Mr. Chair, just a final comment. There's a lot said about the paid family medical leave, and a lot of conversation or talk about businesses that don't support it. I'm a business owner, and I support this paid family medical leave full on. I have had many occasions where I'm trying to hire somebody and younger people come in and they ask specifically about the offering of such a program and plan. And this is a plan that is economical for businesses. This is a plan that helps you employ and hire young workers who we can keep local in a smaller community. And it's really a healthcare bill, in my opinion. In my estimation, this is about healthcare, the well-being of my employees, the well-being of their families, the well-being of women raising children and taking care of loved ones, whether you're husband or wife, when they're sick, and especially taking care of elders. I mean, I've seen all of this in my business over the years, where employees come to me, they have issues like this. And this program, I've been a fan since it first came out, and when I run the numbers for my business, it makes so much sense. I would rather not delay. And I just want to put that on the record. And I appreciate Rep. Baker. We've worked together a lot, and I really have a highest regard for you and your work, but unfortunately, this is one bill that we're not going to agree on. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to just go back to some of the comments that were made before we recessed. And I appreciate, Representative Baker, you bringing this bill. I think, you know, it was stated that a lot of businesses support this and that there will be consequences for the delay. And I understand those concerns, but the reality is that most employers in the state, including most cities, including those that do collective bargaining, including school districts, including counties, they provide leave already. It's a very small subset of mostly small businesses that aren't being able to provide leave. So people who currently have paid leave that they don't pay a tax on are going to be able to continue to get that leave while we have this delay and we get the program right for the small businesses that don't offer leave. And so to say that all of a sudden nobody's going to get paid leave is just not true, because a lot of segments of the economy, they already have a lot of paid leave. And for the people that need to get it right, it is the small businesses. Representative Baker talked about the small businesses that in other states have an exemption. We are not providing an exemption here. At the federal level, they get an exemption. And then we also have so many people that we tried to offer a voluntary plan. So for small businesses that can't afford leave right now, maybe like Rep. Bierman's business or other small businesses, they'd like to provide it and they can't. We offered an alternative that was voluntary that would have made that possible and made it affordable without making everybody else who currently gets leave pay a tax on it. So members, there are a lot of concerns with this bill and a lot of concerns about how it's going to be implemented and how small businesses are going to be able to hire staff. The concern was that, oh, people want to be able to have the leave. There will be small businesses that close because they just cannot afford to implement this by paying the tax and hiring the replacement workers and keeping the job open. They really can't find labor right now. And so I'm very concerned that, without, this bill was problematic with multiple reasons we don't need to relitigate today when it was passed, and to not take the time to delay the implementation so that we can do a better job, particularly for our small businesses, is very concerning to me. And so I really appreciate, Representative Baker, that you're willing to take a look at this, and I urge the members to understand that this is really important, that as we roll this out, we do it right. We don't want to have another MNLARS. We don't want to have another Office of Cannabis Management situation, which has rolled out terribly. So there's many examples where we have not gotten it right because we rushed, and this will really hurt our small businesses. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Robbins. Representative Mukbadge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have potentially a couple questions, but at least one question for the bill author. Representative Baker, I haven't really heard yet through this discussion what exactly is going to happen through this pause and exactly how long this pause is.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. I think what the pause gives a lot of us time for is more listening to the people that have a lot of concern that maybe have mentioned earlier. I think our school districts have a lot of concern about what this will do to their costs and their staffing, because the cost is going to be $78 million coming to the schools, and they don't know how to pay for this yet. A lot of the counties and the collective bargaining agreements that are out there, many of them have quietly told me, we'd like to have a choice to be able to be have this negotiated with or not. In the past, a lot of the bargaining agreements have had very robust PTO banks, and a lot of county workers can actually really bank it up heavily for this exact purpose, for family time off. I think that they were not vetted properly. I think that our local taxpayers are already paying those types of things. Again, I think it's just a matter of making sure we have time to get this bill better. Again, I'm not going to talk about repealing this idea. I think it is at the door now. We have to really get it right. But a one-size-fits-all for all sizes of business and the different complexities of businesses in Minnesota, we just need to make sure that when this leaves our legislation, it has to have balance. It has to have ideas for both sides. And right now, the bill as it was written last session doesn't have that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bogdje.
Thank you, Representative Baker. I'm not sure I actually heard an answer to my question of how long this pause would be and exactly what it is you want to do outside of the listening. My understanding is that the listening has actually already been happening with a number of groups and organizations working with yourself, Representative Pinto, Representative Frazier, on the questions and concerns that they have. My understanding as well is that those questions and concerns are being taken into consideration, and I understand that there might actually be other bills coming forward that actually critically address those needs. And so my probably last question for you is, you talked earlier about how you want to have a bill that would actually address those substantive concerns that both employees and employers are bringing up. And so I'm wondering today why we don't have a bill like that in front of us instead of one that's actually just going to put this thing on pause for, again, since you didn't answer my first question, I don't know how long this pause is for. Mr.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, the bill calls for 1 year pause. I think that the reason you haven't seen other bills coming is that we've been working on it in a bipartisan fashion with members, so you'll probably see something here coming in this coming week.
Mr. Chair, final comment?
Representative Bagley-Bonche.
Well, then I would just say my final comment is that I hope that actually we would be waiting for those bills to come forward, because I do actually believe that employees and employers do have serious concerns about the implementation of this bill, what it means for smaller businesses, what it means for employees who are considering the time off that they want to take to spend with their family members. And I do think that those need to be addressed. I do hear from my constituents who are asking those questions. And so I actually think it would be a better use of our time if we were going over one of those bipartisan bills that you talked about. And so I'm actually quite disappointed that instead we're looking at, you keep saying it's not a repeal, but I don't see any other replacement here. So I'm looking at it as a repeal. And with that, I would just encourage members to vote no on this bill.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the bill author or to nonpartisan staff, can you refresh my memory? Did the original bill go through education finance?
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair and members, I don't have that information offhand. I can look into it now, though, while you continue to debate and get back to the committee.
Thank you. Representative Kreisha.
Thank you. And if you could just get confirmation, I don't believe it did go through education finance, and therefore the schools were not able to actually plan for this and the staffing. Representative Baker, have you heard from school leaders specifically about how this will contribute to the near and long-term fiscal stability for the schools?
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, I've heard from districts all over the state of Minnesota that do not know how this will work in implementing when their budgets right now are very, very concerning. So, yes, I've heard from districts all over the state of Minnesota.
And one more.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the bill author, have you heard from any school leader that would suggest this would solve their hiring problem?
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, I have not.
No further questions.
Thank you. We are winding down the list. I have just two members left on the list, Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess just consistent with that line of questioning, thank you so much, Representative Kreisha. So at this time, I'll move to re-refer the bill to the Education Finance Committee, and would I think that was an excellent point. And so thank you so much, and would request a roll call, Mr. Chair. And I think the point was probably already made. No need to make anything further.
The motion is to re-refer the bill to the Education Finance Committee, and a roll call has been requested. We will vote on that
motion.
Representative Kreisha.
Are you already calling the vote, or are you going to have discussion to that motion?
We can have discussion. Representative Kreisha.
Just very quickly, as the chair of the Education Finance, I do not think this bill does need to go there at this point.
Thank you. We will proceed with the roll call on the motion, unless Representative Pinto would care to withdraw his request.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I'll let Chair Kreisha work it out with Chair Kreisha, since they seem to be disagreeing, but I think we want to go forward with the motion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll call the roll on the question of whether or not to re-refer this bill. Okay. Call the roll.
Chair Torkelson.
Chair votes no.
Vice Chair Robbins.
No.
Representative Akam.
Akam votes aye.
Representative Agbajay.
Yes.
Representative Baker.
No.
Representative Bierman.
Bierman, yes.
Representative Gomez.
Aye.
Representative Heintzman.
No.
Representative Igo.
No.
Representative Cleborne. Representative Cagle.
Yes.
Representative Katiza Watoon.
Aye.
Representative Kosnick.
No.
Representative Kreisha.
No.
Representative Lilly.
Aye.
Representative Moeller.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
Nope.
Representative Noor.
Aye.
Representative Novotny?
No.
Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Representative Rarick?
No.
Representative Schumacher?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Swedzinski?
Swedzinski, no.
Representative Vang?
Aye.
Representative West?
No.
Representative Joachim?
Aye.
Representative Cleburne?
There being 12 ayes and 14 nays, the motion does not pass. Representative Pinto, was that your only question?
It was not, Mr. Chair.
Well, I was just trying to be optimistic.
Fair enough. I'll try to keep things moving, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question to Chair Baker. I've heard concerns expressed both in our committee and also here about the process, and I think allegations of rushing process relating to the passage of paid family medical leave. I wonder if you know, Mr. Chair, Chair Baker, talking just about the times that paid leave has passed the House floor, which was in 2019, 2021, 2023, not including the bill that made changes in 2024. Do you happen to have any sense as to the number of committees that heard paid family and medical leave before it finally became law in the Minnesota? And this is just the House, by the way, not the Senate, because we're just going to worry about the House.
Representative Baker.
You know, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Pinto. I think that it's passed a lot of committees in the past, but which version are we talking about? They were looking at different versions of how to cost out the bill. There was a micro-simulation process that was going through in 22, 23. They changed that all of a sudden and went to an actuarial study. So it depends on the version of the bill that we want to hear. During my time on workforce the last 4 years, the number of questions that were asked to the Department of Economic Development that were not answered is alarming to me. The fiscal notes that I had requested over the last couple of years that went unanswered is concerning to me. So what I need to do in my work here, Representative Pinto, is to make sure that all of those things are really best understood so we have a better way of moving this thing forward. That's what this pause is doing, Representative Pinto.
A follow-up, Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Baker, I think that's exactly the point, right? That legislation takes a while to work through. I mean, this is a really important program. It went through a number of iterations. As you say, as those committees went on, different changes happened. I will note the answer was there's 25 different hearings for the passage of the bill. Did not include education and finance, as far as I can tell, just to answer that question from Chair Kreisha, but many, many other committee stops. And I guess I'd heard you say and other members talk about if something is not right, we want to take the time to get it right and not rush things. And I've heard a lot of concerns about that concept, and then a lot of points about this particular bill, right, that there's aspects of it. I'd asked you in committee, following up on Representative Bajay's anticipating it, her questions about kind of what's the plan for these 365 days. And so my question for you is, and this is kind of paraphrasing some of your colleagues, why the rush on this bill? So 25 committee hearings on the passage of the bill, plus another three in 2024, one hearing. We didn't have a fiscal note. I'll get into that a little more in just a second. But Mr. Chair, your committee voted this bill out with no fiscal note and with really no background. What is the rush here? Why can we not, just as you say, pause to allow legislation to do its work? Just one more thing as I say this. You talked during committee. You said at one point, we might find out that actually maybe the program is ready to go in 26. We're not sure. We're going to have discussions. It's an ongoing process. Yes, it is. So why would we possibly vote this out today?
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pinto, I think the part of the issue and the urgency of this now is we got a 24-day late start today, this year. We're behind the eight ball already. We've got deadlines coming up here at the end of this month in early April to start working. This is our last chance. Legislators bipartisanly can work together on a bill that will be executed in 2026. And this is my attempt to slow it down, pause it up, because if we don't do this now and start working on some other options to maybe make it work better, we are going to run out of time. And as soon as we're adjourned, this is going to be launched in 2026. And right now, in its current state, I don't believe it's ready to go. So that's the urgency today, that why we're doing this today, Representative Pinto.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Baker, I feel like I've heard you say a number of times, both in our committee and in this committee as well, that you've got ideas coming, there are things happening. You said you're talking bipartisan and various bills. So clearly, by your own conduct, you're indicating that it is not too late. You're, in fact, indicating that there's an ongoing process. As this bill passes out of this committee, it is, in fact, too late unless we send it back for consideration. Chair Baker, after we heard, so in all those 25 committee hearings, as far as I can tell, not once on this bill, I think it's true for almost every other bill, did a finance committee have a bill get voted out to Ways and Means without a fiscal note. And this is a hefty fiscal note. It turns out in this 49 pages, the biennial total is nearly 20, or the quadrennial total is nearly $29 million. This at a time when we don't have a supplemental forecast yet, right? No budget targets, of course. We've got the chaos and everything coming down from Washington, D.C. As I said to you on another bill, it would not be responsible, I think, for any of our committees to be sending spending through without knowing what the current fiscal picture is, but especially and in Ways and Means, we get a fiscal note with $29 million of spending. And then the excuse for it is that, oh, we want to make sure we don't rush. We rush as we explain that we don't want to be rushing. I want to make sure the members are aware that when this bill passed through, we had not heard anything from the agency that was going to be implementing the paid leave program. No groundwork was laid. When they finally did come in, they walked through, and Representative Bierman had brought this up. They explained implementation is going very well. It's on track. They shared the outreach they've done to businesses, statewide outreach over a number of months and quite a while. And we heard from individual Minnesotans with, I have to say, the most heartrending, just incredible testimony talking about the impact of this program that it can have for them and how much they are they've been waiting years and years. Again, this is passed off the House floor repeatedly. And against that, Mr. Chair, I heard no and have still heard no specific proposals, no indication of how this 365 days would be used. People are making plans based on this. And so, I want to ask, do you have some plan? Do you have something that would respond to the Minnesotans expressing this where you could say, well, I know that you've got the new baby, you've got that sick spouse or sick family member. I know how desperate you are, and we're just going to have to wait. This is why. But this is exactly how we're going to use the time so you can have the reassurance that this is exactly how it's going to work. Because I've heard nothing specific. Can you give something concrete that would say that on this day, March 3rd, we've got to rush this out right now to absolutely have that be going? Is there anything concrete you can say to those Minnesotans?
Representative Baker.
I think, Mr. Chair, and Representative Pinto, what I've asked for is a pause so we can get this right, whether it's March 3rd, March 10th. That doesn't matter. I think this bill is so massive, and it has to be addressed to the right-sized business. I've mentioned earlier the collective bargaining agreements that are already in place with some of these benefits already in place. They should be asked if they want to participate. There are a lot of versions of some ideas coming. Again, we're still working on that in a bipartisan fashion. So stay tuned. And again, this is just giving us a chance to pause and work on this. Our days are numbered here this session. So I want to get this done because as far as I see, January 1st is going to come very, very quickly if we don't just take a pause.
You're nearly done, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Sure. May I go, though?
One more, Representative.
Okay. Well, I guess, Chair Baker, so I think at this point, Mr. Chair and Chair Torkelson, so what I want to point out again to members is when we passed this out of our committee, we had no idea of the cost. We now do, and it's significant. We had no specifics from DEED regarding implementation. Since then, we have gotten that information. This is completely inappropriate for this to have passed out of the hands of the committee with jurisdiction. That shouldn't be happening to any of our committee's members. And so this time, Mr. Chair, I would move that the bill be re-referred to the Committee on Workforce, Labor, and Economic Development, and I would request a roll call. This is the committee that should be hearing the bill.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. Representative Pinto requests another roll call on another re-referral motion. The clerk. Representative Swazinski, to the motion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Torkelson, explain the motion a little bit again, and then motion I have a follow-up question.
The motion is to re-refer this bill to the Workforce Committee.
Sounds good. Thank you. You know, Mr. Chair, I think one of the questions that we do have is that as this bill moves forward, and I appreciate Representative Baker's work on it, but I'll save my questions for after committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. To the motion, the clerk will call the roll.
Chair Torkelson.
Torkelson votes no.
Vice Chair Robbins.
No.
Representative Akam.
Aye.
Representative Agbaje.
Aye.
Representative Baker.
No.
Representative Bierman.
Aye.
Representative Gomez.
Aye.
Representative Heintzman.
No.
Representative Igo.
No.
Representative Cleavorn. Representative Cagle.
Yes.
Representative Cagle, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Thank you. Representative Katizawatun.
Aye.
Representative Kosnick.
No.
Representative Kreisha.
No.
Representative Lilly.
Aye.
Representative Moeller.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Noor. Representative Novotny.
No.
Representative Pinto.
Aye.
Representative Rarick.
No.
Representative Schumacher.
No.
Representative Scott.
No.
Representative Swazinski.
No.
Representative Vang.
Aye.
Representative West.
No.
Representative Joachim.
Yes.
Representative Cleavorn.
There being 12 ayes and 14 nays, the motion fails.
Okay.
To wrap things up, Representative Stevens.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I think Representative Baker was on the right track a while ago when he said that it's time for a pause and take a deep breath. I just think we disagree about what needs to be paused. You know, I think this bill needs a pause. There's clearly a lot going on here that hasn't been fully explored. You know, you look at this 50-page fiscal note and you find a lot of things that I imagine that Representative Pinto and the other members of that committee would like to explore. It's unfortunate that amendment or that motion did not prevail. And I would just highlight one of many here of things that I noticed when I read the fiscal note, and I had an opportunity to talk to Commissioner Rowe about this offline. But on page 6 of the fiscal note, it says that there's a cost of $9.2 million in fiscal 27 and $10.5 million in fiscal 28 for development costs as a result of this bill. And I asked the commissioner about that, and he said that essentially they have to keep the contractor online for an extra year because of the delay of this bill. So we're going to spend $20 million just to keep a vendor online just because we want to delay the bill a year for that reason. I don't get it. I mean, Representative Baker wants to delay the entire paid family medical leave program a year to get it right, but is apparently unwilling to delay this bill by 1 week to get it right. I don't understand the logic behind that. I don't think that that's appropriate. That isn't how we should work. What I heard Representative Baker say is that, well, deadlines are approaching. And I'm a little fuzzy on what deadlines we're talking about, because we got an email on Friday that first and second deadline is April 2nd. And third deadline, and this is a finance bill that spends money, is April 11th. So we have more than a month to those deadlines, which, you know, in legislative time is several eternities. I mean, I could say it's an eternity, but it's like probably five eternities between now and April 11th. I wonder if the deadline that we're actually thinking about here is March 11th and March 17th, which, if the public isn't aware, that's the day of the special election and probably the date that that member will be seated. Because once those dates arrive, this bill will be dead, and we all know that. If it was still in committee on those days, it wouldn't move any further. You know, I heard Representative Robbins talk about uncertainty, and I agree that uncertainty is not good for business. But I would tell you that it's your side that's creating the uncertainty here. Mm-hmm. Right now, it is very certain what is going to happen in Minnesota law on January 1 2026, which is that millions of Minnesotans will have access to the paid family medical leave that they deserve. But by advancing this bill, you're sending a message of, well, actually, we don't know what's going to happen on January 1st. All this planning, you know, Representative Kreischer talks about the school districts doing their planning. They're going to have to revisit their plans if they actually think that this bill might pass. These small businesses that are concerned about now, they're going to have to weigh, okay, should I be prepared for this to start next year or the following year? What's going to happen? And we have months, perhaps, of that level of uncertainty that is being caused by this bill, which I heard the bill author say he acknowledged that it wasn't going to pass. And so I just want to make it clear to the public, this bill will not pass. There are not 68 votes for it in the Minnesota House. It will not pass, which makes it all the more a shame that we are kind of breaking our rules, rushing our norms for a bill that is not ever going to clear the House floor. The last thing I wanted to say, Mr. Chair, is, you know, when I reviewed this fiscal note, it does have, you know, a price tag on it. It's not in the scope of things that we look at, the biggest price tag in dollars and cents. It looks like about 20 billion or million, excuse me, in the biennium and another 9 in the tails. But I think that this fiscal note really doesn't capture the true cost of this bill because it doesn't take into account the human costs of this bill. How many babies will be born in the 1 year that is delayed here? And how many parents are going to miss those critical first days and weeks with their kids because they couldn't afford to be there? How many sick parents, grandparents, are people going to miss their time with their loved ones in their final days over that year? How many people with conditions aren't going to be able to get the care that they need? Those costs are not reflected in this fiscal note because they are incalculable. And they, by the way, are permanent. We can make up for $28 million. We can't make up for a parent losing those first few weeks with their kid. This is a bad idea. And I encourage all of the members on this side to vote no.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Representative Baker, closing comments on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I do really appreciate this robust conversation. I think part of the bill, the reason there's a lot of concerns about the delay and what we're trying to get here is because literally the economics of this had not been explored for the last 2 to 4 years. You didn't take into account for the 50% of the job creators that have to have a job in order for this program to even work. Minnesota is becoming more uncompetitive, especially in our border cities. We are pushing people away, and just because you want to stand up a very good program that could work if it was balanced, this could work. We just need time to make sure that all the partners that are part of this are at the table. So, again, if we don't take those risk takers, those people that have, you know, invested everything they have to make sure that they provide the benefits that their employees want and have asked for, they're the ones that should be able to make the decision what are their benefits set and what does that look like to them. As an employer myself, I pay my employees top-notch their hourly rates. We do other benefits. We are flexible. We're part-time. We're full-time. We do whatever we can. But this kind of a benefit set for a small business is overwhelming for them, not only from a cost standpoint, but from the amount of time somebody can be away. And don't think for a second we don't allow people to be away for medical situations. We don't let them to be away for family bonding. We do that now. We find ways of getting it done. It's just not a one-size-fits-all. So, again, members, I really appreciate this. We will be working hard on finding ways to work together on this. It's not going away. It is going to happen. But we have to make sure that we continue to work on that massive bill that's coming out to make sure that the people that take time off for these lengths of time have a job to come back to. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we, you know, re-refer or move House File 11 back to the General Register, and I will ask for a roll call.
Thank you. Representative Baker requests a roll call. A roll call will be granted. Seeing no further discussion, Chair Baker has renewed his motion that House File 11 be placed on the General Register All those in, the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Torkelson.
Torkelson votes aye.
Vice Chair Robbins.
Aye.
Representative Akam.
No.
Representative Egbadje.
No.
Representative Baker.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Gomez.
No.
Representative Heintzman.
Yes.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Cleborn. Representative Cagle.
No.
Representative Katizawatoon.
No.
Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Representative Kreisha.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
No.
Representative Moeller.
No.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Noor.
No.
Representative Novotny.
Aye.
Representative Pinto.
No.
Representative Rarick.
Aye.
Representative Schumacher.
Aye.
Representative Scott.
Aye.
Representative Swidzinski.
Yes.
Representative Vang.
No.
Representative West.
Aye.
Representative Joachim.
No.
Representative Cleborn.
There being 14 ayes and 12 nays, the motion passes and the bill is on its way to the General Register. Members, that concludes our meeting for today. This meeting is adjourned.